The 10th parak focuses on what we are going to refer to as the matanos, the gifts. This is actually based on a pasuk in Dvarim, Yud Ches, pasuk Gimel, that when you want to shecht an animal, and we're not talking about a korban, just you want to shecht any animal, you have to give three specific areas of the animal to the kohen. And it's talking specifically about the zroa, which is the foreleg, the lechayim, which are the jaws, and the keva, which is the stomach, one of the stomachs, the fourth stomach. So that is going to be the theme of our entire parak. Mishnah says as follows, hazroa velechayim vakeva, these three parts of the animal, which we refer to as matanos, noagim ba'aretz v'chos la'aretz, it has to be done. This is an obligation, a mitzvah, whether you're in the land of Israel or outside the land of Israel, b'fnei abayis or shlo b'fnei abayis, whether we have a beis hamikdash or not, b'chulin aval lo b'mukdashim, it applies if the animal is chol, that is your own personal animal, but not if you have donated it to the Beis HaMikdash for Korban. So that's going to be very critical in our parak. It applies for Chulin and not Mukdashim, Shaya Bedin. We would have thought as follows. We would have made a Kal Vachomer, Uma, Im HaChulin, if it applies when it comes to the Chulin animals, our own personal animals, She'enan Chayavin B'Chazeh V'Shok Chayavin B'Matanas, that when it comes to our personal animals, we don't have to give the Chazeh and Shok, which is the breast and the thigh, to the Kohen, but we still have to give to these three Matanas to the Kohen. We would have said, Kal Vachomer, Kodshim She'chayavin B'Chazeh V'Shok, when it comes to the Korbanas, that there's an obligation to give the Chazeh and Shok to the Kohen. Ein Odin She'chayavin B'Matanas, shouldn't we say certainly that we also have to give the matanos to the kohen if it's coming from a korban? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk tells us specifically when talking about korbanos, and we'll read it shortly, that the only things that you have to give to the kohen are the chazeh and the shok, in particular from the korban shlamim. Chazeh and shok have to be given to the kohen, but not the matanos, not the other three areas that we're talking about, the zroa, lechayim, and keva. The pasuk says as follows in Vayikra, Perek Zayin, pasuk lamed dalet, ve'eten osam le'aharon hakohen ulevanav lechokalam. They are to be given, referring to the chazeh and shok, chazen shok are to be given to the kohanim, but ein lo ela masha amor be'inyan, but nothing else. So it's only the chazen shok from the word osam, but the zroa and the chayim and the keva are not given. So that's from where we learn that the mitzvah of the matanos applies only to chulin, but not to mukdashim. Mishnah Beis, we're going to see now four different scenarios. Kol hakodshim shekada mum kavua lehekdeshan. So here we're talking about, we have an animal, and it's hekdesh. It's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, was donated. However, before the donation, that animal had a blemish, that is a kavua, permanent blemish, so it is not able to be brought as a korban. So we have the blemish, and thereafterwards somebody donated it to the Beis HaMikdash. That does not take on the status of kedushas haguf. It's not intrinsically holy, but it takes on the status of kedushas damim. That is, value is owned by the Beis HaMikdash. It's a lower level of kedusha, and thereafterward v'niftu, and somebody redeemed that animal. So we had an animal that had only kedushas damim. It was redeemed from the Beis HaMikdash. The kedusha that was on the animal moves on to the money. The money will be used for something of hekdesh. And the question now is, how about this animal? So because this animal only had a lower level of kedusha, kedushas damim, accordingly, once it's redeemed, it has no longer any kedusha. Accordingly, the halachas of a chulin animal will apply. As follows, number one, chayavim b'chora, if the firstborn animal is a male to this former kedushas damim animal, so it gave birth to a baby boy, then we have to treat that as a bechor. That animal, the baby, has to be given to the kohen. It's a bechor. And number two, uve matanos. That's the subject of our parak. The three matanos have to be given from that animal. It used to be kedushas damim once it was redeemed. It's no longer kedushas damim. Accordingly, it's chulin, and the halachas of matanas apply. And number three, once it is redeemed, it can be used for your own personal purposes. It has no longer a vestige of kedusha. V'yotim lechulin lehigazes la'aved. You are allowed to do the giza. You're allowed to shear it. The shearings are your own. You can work it. That's the avoda. You can work that animal. And in addition, uvladan v'chalavan mutala harpidyonan. After the redemption, the vlad, the babies of that animal, are going to be chulin, and also the milk is going to be permitted to you as well. Once this animal, only it has kedushas damim, and it's redeemed, accordingly, it's a chulin animal for all those purposes. Well, now we're going to talk about scenario number two. We're actually building on scenario number one. We had this animal that only has kedushas damim, And accordingly, we're going to say that even before it's redeemed, because it was only Kedushas Dami, Vashochtan, Bachutz Pater, if somebody did Shchut Echutz, did Shchit on this animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, so typically if you have a Korban, you do Shchut Echutz, you're going to be Chayev Karis, but because this animal is only Kedushas Dami, not Kedushas HaGuf, there's not going to be a Chiyuv of Karis when somebody does Shchita on that animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, and that's even before it was redeemed. Vein Osim Tamur, and in addition, the concept of Tamur is if you have an animal that is dedicated to be given as a Korban, if you try to replace it, so the first one was A, and you try to replace it with B, you cannot do that. A tamura means that they both become korbanos. They all have to, both animals have the kedusha seguf and have to be brought in korbanos. That does not apply in our scenario when we have an animal that's kedusha stamim, even before it's redeemed. It doesn't make a tamura, so only A retains its status as a kedusha stamim. B does not become holy. Vimesu yipadu, if it dies, even before it's redeemed, we would be permitted to redeem it and give that meat. The only use that you can have is to give it to the dog. So because it's only kedusha stamim, it would be permitted to redeem it and feed the meat to the dogs. Chutz min habachor min ha-maiser, the whole thing that we just read right now, this doesn't apply when we have an animal that is a bechor and an animal that is a maiser. So those will actually have kedushas haguf. When we have a bechor, we have an animal that was holy from birth. And when we have maiser, that the pasuk tells us specifically that even if it is blemished when it comes out of the gate, number 10 that you're choosing, you're doing the maiser, the behema, even if it has a blemish, it's also going to have a kedusha seguf. So the bechor and the maiser will be subject to the seifa of the Mishnah that we're about to see that talks about when we have animals that are kedusha seguf. So now we're going to start scenario number 3. Kol she kadam hekdeshan es mumam. We have a situation that we had that animal, it was donated to the base of Mikdash, that's the kedusha, as a korban, and only thereafter did it have a mum that would invalidate it from being brought as a korban, or even if it had a somewhat of a mum, but it was a mum that wasn't permanent. O mum over lehekdeshan ulachar mikan nolan lahem mum kavua. So that situation means that it had a mum over, is not a permanent mum, so it would have a refuah shalema. There afterwards, somebody donated it, so we disregard that mum over, but after it was donated, it has kedushas haguf, as a korban does, kedushas haguf, and there afterward, it had the mum kavua, the permanent mum, that disqualifies it from being brought as on the mizbeach, v'nifto, and it was redeemed. We are redeeming it, just like in the scenario 1 and 2, we're redeeming it, but here we are redeeming an animal that is a kedushas haguf, not kedusha damim, and accordingly, it doesn't take on the full status of chulin. It's quasi-chulin, but there's certain limitations to this animal because it still has a vestige of kedusha. Accordingly, peturim min habechorah, there is no obligation to give a bechor if the firstborn animal is going to be a male, a bechor, umin habatanos. And also, and this refers back to our first Mishnah when we said that the halachas of the matanos apply only to chulin and not korbanos, not to an animal that's been dedicated to the korban. So the same applies even when we have an animal. This is our third scenario that was redeemed. It has a mum, but it was a kedusha saguf because the mum only happened after it was donated to the Beis HaMikdash. The halachas matanas would not apply. The kohen would not have a right to get those gifts. Vein an yotzim lechulin ligazu le'aved. And in addition, this was a chumra now that because it was kedusha saguf, when it is redeemed, and even after it's redeemed, you are not allowed to use it for the giza. You can't shear off the wool from it. You can't work that animal because it still has somewhat of a kedusha. Uvladan v'chalavan asulachar pidyonan, and even after the pidyon, you cannot use the milk, and you can also not have used the vlad. But scenario number 4 tells us certain things that we're building on scenario number 3, would it have the kedusha saguf of the animal, but what applies only before they are redeemed. So there are certain limitations on this animal that before it's redeemed, v'ashochtan b'chutz chayiv, if somebody would do shchita on this animal, kedusha sakut before it's redeemed, shchut echutz, that would be an iser kares, v'osim tmura, and the halachas of tmura apply. If you try to replace A, B also becomes a kedusha saguf, v'imesu yekaveir, in addition, because they have not been redeemed yet, if the animal dies, even when it has the mum, it still has a kedusha seguf, it cannot be redeemed because we are not allowed to redeem something to the Beis HaMikdash that had kedusha seguf, because the only use would be to feed it to the dogs, and when it comes to something that's kedusha seguf, that is not permitted. Mishnah Gimel, a little bit complicated as well, we have a bechor shenisara b'meya. Literally, we have a bechor that got mixed in with another 100. What's going on here, based on the Gemara, is that we have a bechor that is a baal mum. So it's a bechor, it got a mum, and it's talking about the scenario that it was owned by a kohen. A bechor is supposed to be given to the kohen, but when it was in the possession of the kohen, it got a mum. So now the kohen is permitted to sell it. He sold it to a Yisrael, and now the Yisrael has this bechor that is a baal mum. And what happened was it got mixed in with another 100 of like-looking animals. You can't tell which is which. Bizman shemeya shochtim es kulan, when 100 people, this means when 100 people are shechting all them, means that those 100 are owned separately. So there are 100 animals, and there are 100 owners, and the bechor, they don't know which is the bechor, which is the balmum or not. Pochim et kulan, that bechor balmum, as we said before, it is not subject to the halachas of matanos. And accordingly, when it gets mixed in with all 100, each person, he takes an animal, he can say, I believe that I am in possession of that Bechor Balmum, and mine is not subject to the halachas of matanos. A coin, amoti mechaveru alav araya, if you want to prove it that I'm obligated to give matanos, you want to prove that this is not the Bechor Balmum, go ahead, but you don't have any proof. So each one can make the claim that they are not chayav to give the matanos. On the other hand, the scenario is echad shochet et kulam. We have the same situation. We have somebody who owned a Bechor that is a Balmum, and it got mixed in with 100, but all 100 are owned by the same person. So he can only claim that one of them, at least, only one of them, is going to not be subject to matana. So kochim elo echad, because that bechor that is a balmum got mixed in with his 100, he can only get out of giving the matanas from one of the animals, but not all of the animals. And before we continue, just there's a pasuk that says v'zeh mishpat hakohanim me'es ha'am, talking about the mitzvah of matanas, that it applies if somebody is me'es ha'am, from the nation, but that is coming to exclude the kohen, is not considered part of the nation. It's called, he's not a Yisrael, so he is not subject. If he has an animal, it's not subject to giving the matanos to a different coin. And also, me'es ha'am excludes a non-Jew. So non-Jew has an animal, a Jew does a shechita on it, it is not going to be subject to the halachas of matanos. So continuing, ha'shochet le'koin le'nachri, we have Yisrael, he does shechita on the animal owned by a coin, or does shechita on an animal owned by a non-Jew, potter min matanos. If a coin comes to that shochet and says, give me the matanos, he can say it's not subject to the lachas of matanos because it's owned by a kohen or it's owned by a non-Jew. And in addition, it's not only that, even if a Yisrael has a partnership with a kohen or a partnership with a non-Jew together, those obligations, those animals that they own together jointly are not going to be subject to the lachas of matanos as well. If somebody has a shitfus, has a partnership in it with either a kohen or a nochri, tzarech shiirsam, it's not subject to the halachas of matanos. Accordingly, what he should simply do is to mark those animals to show everyone, to get out of the problem of Mara Zayin, to show everyone that those are not subject to the lachas of matanas. That's why he's not giving the matanas, because it's owned together with a kohen or with a non-Jew. Now we're talking about a situation where a kohen sells an animal to Yisrael. We're not talking about a bechor, just a regular animal. Kohen sells it to the Yisrael. Vim amar chutz mimatanas. The condition of the sale is the kohen says, I'm selling you the whole animal, but I'm retaining ownership to the matanas, because it's going to go to a kohen anyway, so I'm going to keep those. The purchaser doesn't have to give matanas because the kohen maintained ownership of those parts of the animal. And now we have a situation, if we have somebody who is buying an animal and he says to the person who is slaughtering that animal, the slaughterer, the owner of the animal, the purchaser says as follows, Amar mecholi mechorli b'nei me'eha shapara v'hayu b'hem matanas. The purchaser says to the slaughter of the animal, the shochet, I want to buy the innards of the animal, and included in the innards is the stomach, the keva included. That's one of the matanos, and so he's buying a bundle of the innards of the animal. Included is one of the matanos kuna. The matana has to be given to the kohen. So there's an understanding between the purchaser and seller that when he's buying all the innards, the price that they set is not including the matanos, because that's not something that the owner of the animal can sell. It's owned by the coin. It has to be given to the coin. Accordingly, nosno, the coin, the purchaser, when he buys all the innards and include the stomach, he has to give it to the kohen. Veino minakelo min adamim. And he can't go back to the seller and say, give me a discount because I had to give the stomach to the coin. It was understood that when they set the price, there was no charge for the matanos because it had to be given to the coin. On the other hand, lakach imenu b'mishkal, if when the purchaser goes and he's buying, and the seller is weighing piece by piece. For example, they set a price $10 per pound, and they're measuring. They measure the amount. They're selling the innards, and included is the matana. In that situation, we see there that the seller is actually charging for the matana. He can't do that. The matana is owned by the coin. It has to be given to the coin, and he charged the purchaser, nosen of the coin, so the purchaser has to give whatever part of the animal, if it was part of the matana, the foreleg, the jaws, or the stomach, it has to be given to the coin, umenaka lomina dami, and he was charged for it, so the seller has to give him a rebate back of the amount that was paid for that specific part, because it was not sellable, it had to be given to the coin. Mishnah Dalit goes to the concept of when does the obligation to give the matanas kick in, and as we'll see shortly, that it's only at the shechita. When the shechita is done, there's an obligation to give the makanas to the coin. What does it matter? Mishnah Dalit says we have a nafkamina. If we have a ger shini skayer, we have somebody who converted. A ger converts vaisalo para, and he had a para and nishchata atchel niskar. He did the shechita. He had a Jew. The Jew did the shechita before the gerus. So accordingly, the shechita was done before there was an obligation. He's only obligated once he converts. Accordingly, pater, there is no obligation to give the matanas to the coin because the shechita was done. So the trigger was done before he converted. So he never had an obligation before. Only when you convert are you obligated. Mishiniskayer, however, if the shechita was done after the conversion, so the conversion happened, then the shechita was done. In that situation, the trigger obligating the matanas happened when he was a Jew. Chayav, he has to give the matanas. But if it's a safek, the situation is we don't know what happened first. Did he convert or was a shechita done? It's a safek. Then he's potter. He doesn't have to give the matanas because of the famous klal shamosi mechaveiro alav haraya. If you want to take something that's in the possession of somebody else, you have to bring a proof. So the coin would have to prove that indeed he had the matanas coming to him, and here it's a suffix. We don't know because we don't know the order of the occurrences, so that the coin will have no proof, so the ger can maintain ownership of the matanas. Now we've been talking about the matanas, we're talking about the foreleg, the jaws, and the stomach, so now we are going to have to define ezu hazroa, what part of the zroa of the foreleg, the right foreleg, are we talking about? So the Mishnah says there are actually three parts of the leg, bottom part, middle part, and top part. And effectively between them is joints. So we have a joint between part 1 and 2, and we have a second joint between parts 2 and 3. So mina perek shel arkuva ad kaf shel ayad. That means that it's from the bottom joint, so it's not including the part 1, the bottom part of the leg. It's from the joint between part 1 and part 2 and all the way up the leg. So in effect, you're not getting the bottom part of the leg, but you're getting the middle part and the top part of the leg when giving the matanas to the coin. V'hu shel nazir. And in addition, when the nazir has to bring a korban shlamim as part of his purification process, he brings a number of korbanas, and it says there that he also has to give the zroa, the right foreleg, to the coin. It's the same parts. It's the middle part and the top part as well. And not only that, when it talks about that the coin from a korban shlamim gets the chazen shok, we're talking about korbanas now, that the coin gets the chazen, the breast, and also the shok. What is the shok? So we're saying it's actually the same parts. The shok means the hind leg. So we're saying ukenegdo baregel shok. When we're talking about when a coin gets the shok of a korban shlamim, it means the right hind leg, and it's the same positions, the middle part of the leg and the top part of the leg, but not the bottom part of the leg. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees in the definition of the shuk that the kohen gets from a korban shlamim. Mina perek shel arkuva, he agrees that it starts at the same place. It starts at the joint, the bottom joint, so that's the area between the bottom part of the leg and the middle part of the leg. But ad sovech shel regalon only goes up to the second joint and not all the way up. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shuk definition of what a coin would get from a korban shlamim is just the middle part of the leg, not the top part of the leg. Continuing, ezu lechi, we have defined what the zroa is. How about the lechi, one of the three matanos, the jaw, what part is that? So the Mishnah answers, mina perek shel lechi, it's talking about the joint of the jaw, that is where the jaw meets the temple. Ad pika shel gargaris, up into the opening of the windpipe. So effectively, you would make a line between those two parts where the jaw meets the temple, and you draw a line to where the windpipe opens, and from that all the way forward, down and forward, including the entire tongue, would be the lechi, that would be one of the three matanas that the kohen would receive when somebody shechs his chulin animal.